Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
I'd like you to stand with me. I am so glad that we are moving forward together. We are in the fourth week of this message series, and we've been saying together this, the chorus of the song, Moving Forward. And I want us to do it again, and then I have a scripture for us to read together. So it's on your screen. Well, it's going to be on your screen. There it is. So on three, let's say this together. One, two, three. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Do you believe it? Amen. 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 Well, I want to read together Philippians 3, 12 through 14, which has been the scripture that's kind of guided us through this series. So let's say it together. Read it with me. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's God's word and that's His truth, and we'll believe it and stand on it. Amen? I'll tell you, I have been so blessed in my study for these messages. God has just blessed me being in His word and revealing and helping me understand. We're in our fourth week of this series. And today, I don't know if you realize it, but today is the last day of our fast. And I hope that you've been participating and it's been what God has wanted it to be for you. And I really pray that God during this time has revealed something to you, that He's opened the eyes of your heart, that He's opened your mind to see in His word what He has for you. And maybe if He's planted that dream in you, that you've relit the fire under it. And maybe you've picked up where you left off and said, God, help me. I want to complete what you've given me to do, God. I pray that during this fast and this intense time of spending with God, that He has imparted to you what? But if not, He will. And so you keep praying for it. That's what we're supposed to do. Keep consulting our Creator. So the first week was seize your tomorrow today. You've heard, don't put off tomorrow to what you can do today. It's kind of like that. But in the light of this, God has given you a call today. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's given you a call to start today. Our week two was consulting your Creator. That prayer is vitally important to any of this. We have to consult with God about what He wants to do, how He wants us to do, where He wants us to go, what He wants us to speak as we move forward in the dreams that He's given us. In week three, we talked about it's important in our pursuit that we have some risk. There will be risk. There'll be investment. But that in all of that, we must believe that what God has put in us to do, that He will bring to completion. And along the way, if it's hard, if there's boundaries, if there's hurdles, if there's hindrances, God will be with us along the way. We need to trust Him in that. You've heard it said or seen it written, God's not finished with me yet. Amen? I tell you what, He certainly isn't finished with me. But you've also heard, I'm a work in progress. We are. We're works in progress. And that is true for all of us. But in light of those God-planted dreams and visions, when will we be finished so we can rest, right? God, I've been going and going and going. I've been doing this for years now. God, when is it time for me to rest? What does the Bible say about retirement or rest? Well, it doesn't say much about retirement. Well, almost nothing. In Numbers 8, it says, Lord said to Moses, this applies to the Levites, men 25 years old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting, but at the age of 50, they must retire from their regular service and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. This, then, is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites. Now, when I read that, I think of, okay, the Levites were the tribe where the priests came out of, the ministry, the clergy. So I'm 56 now, so I'm way past retirement, is what it says. No, not really. But let me speak to that. The tribe, these Levites, these priests, it also says that they continue to help in the duties at the tent of the meeting. So if I were to take it and look at that, it says that my work isn't done as a pastor. But this is more than just being a pastor. This is for all of us, that our work continues on. Some scripture isn't literally meant for us, like some of the promises of God were meant just for those people he was talking to or blessing at the time. And we have to interpret that, and we have to read scripture right. So what does this mean for us? We have to change our perspective on how God intended work and how we see work. To fully understand what the Bible says about this, we have to go back to the beginning. When God first created man, in the book of Genesis, God creates Adam and Eve and gives them charge to work and manage the garden, right? He is to have dominion over the earth. God gave Adam a job. So jobs are good. Work is good. In this perspective, God chose him for the job and gave him a clear job description. Adam enjoyed his work, it says, and the literal fruit of his labor. What this tells us is that work is good. It was created before the fall of man. It was integral to how God designed us and always part of his plan for you and me. Work. Remember what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He created us. God is the workman here. He's the carpenter here who works in us. And if we're not finished, God is continuing to work on us, right? God is continuing to put into us and to grow us. And he calls us to do the same. He has prepared in advance for you good works that we are supposed to participate in. Here's how we should probably see it. Instead of retirement, we need to see it as repurposement. When we see it that way, we can understand that the dreams and visions God gives us could take our entire lifetime to accomplish or to complete, and even pass on for someone else to complete if God has also put someone, and we've talked about it, that sometimes you're passing the baton so someone else can pick up where you left off and they can continue the vision or continue to dream in completion. As Christians, retirement or repurposement should be a time of increased opportunity to do God's work, because work is a part of God's design. That doesn't mean you shouldn't rest. The Sabbath is important. Sabbath heart, a Sabbath day, a Sabbath season, these are important because we need to rest. Out of rest comes vision and joy and energy. Out of that, I used a video clip last week from The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, some of my favorite movies. But there's a great exchange between Frodo and Gandalf near the beginning of the first movie in the trilogy called The Fellowship of the Ring, a conversation that sheds light on how we might and should view retirement. The setting is where Frodo is distraught about all the evil and dread happening in their world at that time. Listen to what he says. He says to Gandalf, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." God gives us all a certain amount of time. Our days are numbered, but we don't know what they are, right? But in those days that are numbered, we are to seek God and do his will and his work continuously. It may change along the way, but it's still for the glory of God, and his work isn't done until his kingdom comes. You are valuable to God's plan, and the part he plants in you must be pursued. Risk must be taken. Investments must be made, all the while exercising belief in the God who gave it to you will see it to completion. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we ask you right now, we come in and take over, Lord. Our hearts, our minds, God, we just want to see you. We want to hear your word in us, God. We want it to resonate. We want it to find its home in there, God. And we want it to nourish us that we may grow in all you have for us, God. We want to live by your word, God. And in order to do that, it must be in us. So I pray right now for each and every one of us here and online, God, that we open our hearts to get all that you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. In today's message, we will be focusing on finishing what God has asked us to do, meaning the dream or the vision that he's planted in us, or at least our part of the vision or dream. So what does it mean to move forward, to finish? Colossians 4:17 tells us, "Tell Agrippa, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received from the Lord or in the Lord." We're called, Agrippa was called to, see to it that you complete the ministry. Isn't it great when we have people that will walk with us and encourage us and support us? Because it gets hard. We want to give up. We want to rest. And sometimes when we rest too long, we forget to pick it back up. We get distracted and we start something else that wasn't in God's plan. See to it. Make every effort. Aim to do all that God requires, beginning on the way and in completion of all that he's planted in us to do. Micah 6:8, and you're probably familiar with it, tells us that God requires us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him, right? These are the things that are a part of our life. And these must accompany all that God sets our hearts and minds to do. Within all of those dreams as we live is to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the God. That's what he requires. Also, moving forward must always be accompanied by an attitude and expectation that you will set out to finish all that God puts in front of you. Whether his plan is for you to pass that baton for someone else to finish at the end of your life or not, you still must do it with all the zeal and the fervor that God asks us to do it with. Not turning to the right or to the left, but going forward. I believe Moses believed when he began the vision God gave him to get his people free and get them to the promised land, that he would be there too. Moses was 80 years old when he went to Pharaoh and asked for freedom of the Israelite slaves. And he continued working until he died at the age of 120. But Moses never saw the promised land realized. That vision and baton was passed to Joshua, and he saw it complete. You see, God puts people in our lives to pass that on to sometimes. John the Apostle served and wrote into his 90s. I'm so glad that he didn't just give up after being exiled. He fought on, and that's why we were able to read and believe in the revelation of God, which imparts us to wait expectantly for Christ's second coming. One of the great finishers of the Bible was Solomon, King David's son. Solomon was not only a finisher, he was a total, complete, absolute finisher. Notice the inclusion of the word all in the phrases I'm about to read to you that are referring to Solomon and the temple that his father passed on to him to finish. In 1 Kings, it says he had finished all the temple. In 1 Kings 6, the house was finished in all its details and according to all its plans. 1 Kings 7, so all the work that King Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And then 1 Chronicles 5, so all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. And in 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord. The epitome of completion. Solomon did all that God had required of him to do in regards to building the temple. There are many more lives in scriptures that tell the same story. In Psalm 92, it says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Are you fresh and green? I'm not talking about the young people. I'm talking about the older people. Are you fresh and green? You probably don't feel that way right now sometimes. But we will still bear fruit. Listen to me, I said we. I'm not there yet. Come on. We will still bear fruit in old age. You see, that's the purpose. God isn't finished with us yet. He's not finished growing us, and he's not finished with us taking part in making his kingdom realized. He's not finished. And we need to get in our minds that it's not that we're ever, people ask me all the time, say, when are you going to retire? Not all the time, but they ask me, when are you going to retire from ministry? I say, I hope never. I say, it may change, and it has over my life. Even in my 30-plus years of being in full-time Christian service, it's changed. I'm going from a Christian school teacher to a children's pastor to a middle school pastor to a high school pastor to a worship pastor, a men's ministry pastor, worship pastor, and a lead pastor. God is not finished. What's next, God? I'm ready, God. I finished this. If you finish something for God, all you got to do is say, God, just give me a day. I'm ready. I'm ready to come home. Whatever it is that you have for me, God. Paul said this about our attitude as we live this life for God in 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such a way. Grow, learn. Work those spiritual muscles. Grow or run in such a way as to receive the prize. God, it's up to him for the results. We just have to do everything he's called us to do. Paul also said, at the end of his race, in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Don't you want to be able to do that? Don't you want to be able to say with Paul, in all confidence and humility, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. I believe this. And many more had this motto echoing in their heads, you're not done until you're done. And we have to keep that too. We are not finished until we're finished. Till God says, time to come home. We're not finished until we're finished. We read last week, but let me extend it a bit and be encouraged because this is what it meant to do. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now listen, we're going to continue on. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We look to Jesus when we get weary. He's the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. So we run with perseverance. The race, our race, and each of us have a different race. Some of us are connected in different places, but we have a race that we're called to run and to look toward the finish line. But enjoy the journey, because that's what it is. And we look to Jesus so we don't grow weary and so we don't lose heart, because we're moving forward in a vision, in a dream that he's planted in each of us. And we're not done until we're done. But in to follow that, we know the Savior of the world. Jesus said this in John 4. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. It was in Jesus, his makeup, his being, his desire to finish all that his Father had called him to do, the reason that he was sent. So we have to look to finish, but not only that, the manner in which we go there is important, and we must look to finish well. Friends, there is a key to finishing well or completing what God has planted in us to do. And after it's done, we find ourselves wondering what's next. Like I said, Lord, I finished. What is next, Lord? I am ready to go. That key, and this will sound confusing, don't finish. What do I mean? I mean, when you have completed an assignment given to you by God, be ready, be willing, and expectant of what God will ask of you next. Because God says, ask and you will. He will give it to you. He will say, that's my boy. That's my girl. I know that you're ready. I know that you're willing. So here's what I want you to do next. I just love that. Remember, God's not finished with us until we are with him in heaven. Always be looking forward to what the Lord has for you next. I want to read to you a story out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. or 25, verse, starting with verse 14. In here, we find the parable of the talents. So let me read this and read along with me. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. I can just see him there. Look, I have it right here, Lord, just as you gave it to me. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. Some of these translations say bags of gold instead of talents. But the message here is, what are we going to do with what God has given us and given us to do? We're going to bury it? We're going to say, I'll just keep it nice and comfortable here. Nobody touch it. Nobody do any. Don't even look at it, okay? Because I want to make sure it's the way that God gave it to me. I want to give it back to him. That's not growth. That's not change. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to grow in all that God has for us. There's not only purpose. It's not necessarily and solely about the dream and the vision. It's about you. God wants you. And he's matching you up with the with these visions according to your abilities. And he's going to, you've heard the thing that those who are prepared or he calls the, say it loud. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for that very much. That is true both ways. You may have an ability, a talent that God's given you, and he'll match you up. But he'll also say, hey, I need you to do something. You may have no reason or no talent or skill or ability. I mean, look in the scripture. God says, listen, I'll give you all you need. I'll walk with you. I will provide a mouthpiece for you because Moses stuttered. I'll provide for you because I have a purpose for you in this. But we can't hide it. We have to take it and do all that God has required of us to do with it. God will continue to use you as long as you are faithful, fruitful, and moving forward. Let me say that again. God will continue to use you as long as you are faithful, fruitful, and moving forward. Friends, you can't finish anything until you begin. And I don't know what you heard from God during this fast, but I hope you heard something. I hope that he planted in you a dream to start something or reconnect with something that you started before, that you've laid down, that you've buried. You need to dig it up. God's got a dream for you, and that dream and that vision is part of his greater plan. And it can't be complete until you pick it up and do what he's asked you to do. And you can't begin until you are fully surrendered, heart, mind, body. Remember the little girl's prayer that I said in the first week? She said, Lord, if there's anything I can ever do for you, just let me know, and I'll do it. Is that the kind of attitude and heart you bring to God? You say, Lord, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be in my skill set. I'll learn. God, I know you will provide, but if there's anything I can do, Lord, just let me know, and I'll do it. Guess what? You walk out this door and you pray that prayer, he's got something for you today. He might have a divine appointment for you today with someone or something that has to do with his plan. And sometimes his plan has to do with you growing. He needs to prepare you for this in order to do this. My friends, I pray that you are hearing from God and he is affirming in you that vision and that dream. And when you begin, don't stop until it's finished. In the book of Acts, chapter 6 and 7, we find a story, maybe you're familiar with it, of Stephen preaching. It says that Stephen was full of grace and power, doing great wonders and signs with the people there. He was preaching Jesus, but they didn't like him preaching Jesus, not the way he was. And so they devised a plan to accuse him of blasphemy. And he was brought before the Sanhedrin. They couldn't match the wisdom that he had from the Spirit. And so they had to find something to bring him up before the Sanhedrin. Now let me read the scripture and then I want to explain what I mean about this part of scripture. In Acts 7, verse 55, it says, "But Stephen," and you'll see what happened to Stephen here. "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' As at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep." Why do I read this scripture? Biblical scholars put Stephen's age around 28 to 32 at the time of his death. A young man who was faithful and obedient to God's will. But it was a short life serving God. Being young and addressing the Sanhedrin as he did, he was talking about what Moses had done and how the Israelites would lose faith and they wouldn't follow the Holy Spirit. It probably didn't sit with the Sanhedrin very well, those older men who knew the law and knew what they thought God was saying. But that he was telling them that they were like their forefathers, wavering with God and calling them stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts. Woo! Well, that just sent them over the top. So they drug him away to stone him. And what an interesting part of the story to find Saul watching the stoning. And we know that Saul, later named Paul, would be one of God's greatest evangelists, one of his greatest missionaries, to take the gospel to the world for the glory of God and for Jesus Christ. He can use anybody, people. But that's not the most interesting part of the scripture. I say all that to say this. It says that Stephen saw heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. I was sitting in men's prayer group Friday morning, this past Friday morning at 7 a.m. when this occurred to me. You see, normally Jesus is pictured in scriptures like Ephesians 1:20. It says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. And in Hebrews 8, we do have such a great high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne in the majesty of heaven. You see, in these scriptures, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God in these passages. But Stephen saw the Lord standing at the right hand of God. And why is this important? It touched me when this realization came to me. I believe that Jesus was standing to see his servant finish his race. And he was honoring him by standing in support and encouragement and confirmation. I believe Jesus was standing because he was proud of Stephen for finishing well. He stood to welcome his faithful servant home and usher him into his master's happiness. That's what I believe about that. It may not be true, but I like to think that. That's why Jesus stood, because those other scriptures said he was seated. I can just imagine, I meant to have put a chair up because I was going to sit down and read it, and then I was going to stand up. Imagining that Jesus stood up for you. That's my boy. That's my girl. Finish well. Jesus finished well. He came to do for you and me. He completed what his Father sent him to do, and his Father was proud of him. I believe he is proud of you and me when we complete the vision and dreams he plants in us. We must move forward, church, in all that he has prepared in advance for us to do. We must move forward toward completion. Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection made a way for you and for me. And we are called to continue his work until we complete all that God has called us to do. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege to carry on the cause, the work, to share the gospel, whether in word or deed, because there are lost people, and that's who Jesus came for, lost people. And we're not done until we're done with looking for lost people, reaching lost people, and bringing them to Jesus so he can forgive them and save them. In communion, we celebrate all that Jesus sacrificed when we take communion. And we remember the completion. And you can look at it that way because when he rose from the dead, he completed what his Father asked him to do. He completed conquering death. He completed overcoming sin. And he did it in our place because he's the only one that could. And so he did what only he could do so that we can do what he's called us to do. We're going to go into a time of communion. And that's what I want you to focus on. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing what only you could do that I couldn't do. And I want to rejoice in that right now. Your sacrifice is my victory. And I want us to do this in remembrance of the completer of our faith, Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I don't know when it is when you call me home, Lord, but I like to imagine that you'll stand and say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's happiness. And I'll be so excited, Lord. And I pray that for each of us, God, that that's what will happen. You're so proud of us for continuing on the work that you started, doing all we can with the dream you planted it, because it's part of the greater plan to save the world. And we have a part. We can't bury our talent. We can't bury our treasure. We can't bury the vision and the call you put on our lives. You expect it to grow and change and expand because people can't be saved if we bury it. So Jesus, thank you for helping us begin. Your completion is our beginning. Your completion is our victory, and we thank you for that. So may we take this moment, Lord, to praise you and thank you and be full of gratitude for what you did for us. Bless this communion to your glory and to our remembrance. In the name of Jesus, the finisher and completer of our faith, we pray in his name. Amen.